You're listening to DraftKings Network. You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
So I wanted to take a moment here before we get to this week's episode of God Bless Football. We'll have Mike Golic on. We'll have Field Yates on talking draft. We'll talk to Austin Eckler as well. I did want to take a moment to let the city of Kansas City, and especially the ones impacted at the tragic events earlier this week at the Chiefs Super Bowl parade, that on behalf of everyone on this show, me, of course, Billy, Mikey A, everyone, all the voices you hear, everyone associated with this show, behind the scenes as well, that our thoughts, our prayers, our hearts are with you, Kansas City. They have been with you for a couple of days now. They'll continue to be with you moving forward. I can tell you, as someone who went through this 6 years ago, Stoneman Douglas High School in my city, where I live in Parkland, unfortunately, I am one of the few people in some way, shape, or form that can relate to what it is you are going through. And I know how difficult it is, and I am so sorry that you have to go through this. So sorry. And once again, we will get to the football here in a second. But on behalf of everyone associated with this show, I wanted to let you all know, that city know, especially the ones impacted by what happened earlier this week, that our thoughts and our prayers and our hearts are with you. God bless Kansas City.
God bless football, Billy Gill.
God bless football, Mike Golic.
God bless football. I can't believe it's over. Mikey A.
Yeah.
God bless football, Stu Gatz. Now I'm depressed.
Yeah. Well, you're depressed. Why are you depressed? Because football's over?
Because he just said it's over. Like,
this is the season we always win, Mike, the offseason. I mean, what are you talking about? Yeah.
Always something. Yeah. Always something until late June, till mid-July, where we all do the Mount Rushmore of something as we try and kill time before training camps open.
Right. How was Valentine's Day? I heard you were hammered.
We got a little drunk. We did a Sorry in Advance. We did a family podcast, which Mikey A produces for us. And we started a couple of years ago with Sugarlands Distillery. They make High Rock Vodka in partnership with Dale Earnhardt Jr. And they sponsored our golf tournament for the first 2 years at Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Came and set up a bar at our house and such. And they do sipping cream as well. And so we started drinking. And as that got going, there was cake there as well.
Oh, geez.
So at one point, I think it was my son, Mike, put cake in the blender and we put booze over the top and we blended it.
Nice.
And it tasted pretty good.
Right.
So that was kind of the genesis of the birthday cake sipping cream, which the Golic family, we are the ambassadors for that for Sugarlands Distillery. So March 9th is their 10-year anniversary, and that's when the Golic family birthday cake sipping cream will hit the stores. So, yeah, there you have it. So Chris and I were drinking as we were talking to the rest of the family, and yeah, we had a few shots, and nothing like having a hangover at 11 in the morning.
They couldn't stop at 1. They couldn't. Mm.
It was very good. Right. Very good.
So what'd you do the rest of the day? I mean,
slept.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Took a bell run or something.
I mean, it was Valentine's.
That was later. We went out to dinner with Sydney and Ben, but we took a nap in the afternoon. A while before that it happened.
You can't do that. You can't nap. You can't drink in the morning, nap in the afternoon, and then go out for dinner at night. It's impossible. No one's ever done it before.
I don't remember. I don't remember the last time I drank in the morning. It probably was college. So I mean, Chris and I are 61 and 60. How do you think that hit us drinking in the morning? We were floored.
I can't imagine. It's Gojo's fault, though. I feel like
that's exactly right.
And everything's his fault. You got into business with a vodka company. I mean,
so that's the expectation, right? I mean, we're the right people for it. I'll tell you that much.
Right. Yes, you are.
They have to do quality control, Stuga. It's like they got to make sure everything's on the up and up before it gets released.
Right.
Boom.
Make sure they're happy with their product, right?
It's exactly right. Yeah. We're very happy.
How was your Super Bowl experience? Calling the game. We saw you in Vegas. How was the calling of the game?
I mean, listen, it's always great because normally when I call games, I'm in the booth. So now the biggest game of the year for the last 3 years now, I've been on the field. It's nice when you kind of have a nod and acknowledgement of people when they walk by. Jay-Z and I had a nice little eye contact moment. That was a cool moment there. And, you know, Post Malone did a great job with God Bless America. The halftime show was weird in there. The acoustics weren't great in the stadium. So while I knew the songs, you could tell by the beat of the music what they were, you couldn't really, I don't know how it sounded on TV, but you couldn't really hear the words that well. Now, listen, he's a phenomenal dancer. And then you get, you know, Alicia Keys there, and Ludacris. And it was that part of it was very cool. Loved watching the dancing, but couldn't hear the words very well. And then the game, I mean, listen, it's just fun to be on the sideline, and I love looking at interaction, you know, of what's going on in the sideline. You know, that first half when Travis Kelce and starts yelling at Andy and accidentally bumps him, and people are kind of talking to Travis, other players after that. That was a big moment. But, you know, that stuff, you know, people who are, you know, are new to this, you know, I all of a sudden I heard on, like, talk shows, oh my God, did you see Travis Kelce assault Andy Reid? I'm like, oh my God, this is like sports people trying to go and talk politics, you know. It's just a bad idea,
right?
So this is people outside the world of football who are now all of a sudden feeling like Travis Kelce is an abuser of older men, and they fear for Taylor Swift's life,
right?
It just blows my mind. Now, did what Travis do, was it out of line? Yeah, even Jason and his brother, when they talked on their New Heights podcast, admitted it was. But this happens. This happens during the game, and then it's over. So while I didn't even give it a second thought, my God, because it's obviously the biggest game and you have more casual fans, did that thing blow up? Wow.
It's the first time I've heard someone say accidentally. It did appear to be an accident. Like, he was super... He was upset. He wanted Andy to get him the ball. Now, he didn't do a good job of expressing himself. He was very emotional, but it did appear to be an accident. It did.
Oh, without a doubt. And people, this happens almost every game in some sort of way. Players pulled apart from each other, pulled away from a coach. This just happened to be on the most viewed game of all time.
Yes.
So there were a ton of eyes on it, but he is an emotional guy. He had one catch and one target, you know, in that first half. where even when they only scored 17 points and won against Baltimore, mm-hmm. he had 11 catches in that game. Now, we saw in the second half, he got the ball a lot more, but he stayed in and he chipped on Bosa a little bit in the first half, and he just wasn't getting the ball a lot. And he's a guy that's going to the Hall of Fame. Yeah. He's a great player who wanted the ball. And, you know, frustration builds. He's an animated guy, and that's what happened. Yeah. I didn't give it a second thought until you start seeing all the stuff around it going, oh, my God, people, relax. It doesn't look good. I get it. It's not a good look at all.
Right.
But that stuff happens. And then kudos in the second half, because all week we kept talking about who we pick. And I remember I picked Buffalo over KC. Then I picked Baltimore over KC. Obviously, I couldn't pick the Super Bowl. But it's always like, yeah, I want to pick the other team, but Pat Mahomes.
Right.
And while the defense had been great, and I mean great in the postseason, the end of that game, man, that was Pat Mahomes with the ball in his hands.
Yep, doing what he does. Mike, we had this conversation with Lebatard on our main show here, and I'm wondering, can you be an all-time great defense if Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback? Because you're right, yeah. the defense performed at such a great level, but what we'll remember is that final drive and Patrick Mahomes winning his third Super Bowl.
Well, that's exactly right. But you have to put to it. I mean, football people will put to it for the fact that San Francisco only got a field goal in their first drive. Yeah, that's a really good team, San Francisco.
Right.
From top to bottom, the best roster in the game. And Kansas City tightened up when they should have in overtime and held them to a field goal. I mean, this we measure so much by postseason, right? And that's the one thing we talked against San Francisco in the postseason. All of a sudden, they were giving up a lot more in the running game, you know, going that way. Kansas City, in the regular season, gave up 17 points a game. In the postseason, average giving up 13 points a game going into the Super Bowl. And in the second half of games going into the Super Bowl, they were averaging giving up 3.3 points per game. So they were trending incredibly well. Spagnuolo, now early in the game, didn't do the normal, you know, get after it pressure he did in the second half. He switched it up. You make adjustments. And it worked well. You just wonder why in a offseason of 8 head coaching job openings that Spagnuolo wasn't considered for any of them.
Sure. Yeah, it's interesting. Mike, how close were you to the Andy Reid? Like, were you close when Andy Reid and Kelsey kind of collided there?
No, I was that happened on kind of one side of the sidelines. I was on the other side. I just saw kind of the aftermath of it.
Okay.
And then I had seen as it calmed down there, other players like, you know, putting their arm around Kelsey, basically, I'm sure, trying to tell him, calm down. But I was probably about 30 yards away from it.
What'd you make of Kyle Shanahan's decision to take the ball first in overtime? It appeared, Mike, that he didn't know the rules to overtime. His team was confused. Everyone was confused. What'd you make of that situation?
No, he knew the rules, but as he said, he never really expressed them to his team. So,
that's a bad job, Mike. I'm sorry. That's part of your job.
Okay, but let me ask you this. I agree you want your team to know everything, but now let me ask you this. What difference does it make? Does it change the way they play? The coaches decide. They decided they wanted the ball first. If you want to say that's a mistake,
it is.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. But understand this. And you heard Kyle's reasoning. I wanted the ball third, right? They scored a field goal. If they'd held KC to a field goal, now it's sudden death. And San Francisco would have got the ball first in sudden death. Next score wins. Also,
but Mike, you're not guaranteed a third possession. He's playing for something that doesn't exist.
I understand that, but let's throw this into the equation.
Okay.
Not many people, you know, that I didn't hear that. I brought it up, but I didn't hear many people bring it up. What at the end of regulation, you go to overtime, they don't wait, right? You go out in the coin toss and you start playing right away.
Sure.
Does everybody remember what happened at the end of regulation? The San Francisco defense was on the field for 11 plays in a minute and 50 seconds.
Right.
They were on the field a lot in a short amount of time, a lot of plays in a short amount of time. They were dead dog tired at that point. So now, with no rest, coin toss, the norm would be defer. You would be putting them right back on the field again after that drive. So I didn't hear a lot of people talking about that. That's a tough call. When you have the choice to maybe sit them and rest them. So I got to believe that went into the equation as well. These guys were just smoked after that drive, and you were to put them right back on the field.
What's not a tough call, though, is when you get it down, fourth and goal, you have to go for it there. You're giving Mahomes. All Mahomes has to do is go down and get a touchdown, which he did. Mike, you cannot kick a field goal in that spot.
I disagree. Get the lead. You know what? You could. You're in the Super Bowl,
right?
Okay?
Yep.
Which means you have a really good team. Make a stop.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell me any day of the week I have the lead after our first drive in overtime of the Super Bowl, I'm going to take it. I know it's Pat Mahomes, but you know what Pat Mahomes didn't do every drive of that game? Score.
Right.
They were not good in the red zone. They got one red zone touchdown because of a punt that bounced off of a San Francisco 49ers gunner. So they got the ball right in the red zone there and scored the next play. Other than that, and they fumbled in the red zone, and they had to kick three field goals in the red zone. Then they got the touchdown in overtime, but I don't mind putting it on your defense. Listen, at the end of the day, should they have deferred? Probably. But I'm not going to completely crucify. You got the lead in overtime. Make a stop.
I know, but you can't be the genius coach and say, come out and actually say, I was playing for the third possession. You can't. There's no guaranteed third possession, Mike. You can't
I agree with that, right. But I am certainly not on Kyle as much as everybody right. else is. Okay. I definitely am not.
I think Kyle thought if they scored a touchdown on that opening drive, the game was over. It was a walk-off. It would have been great. Gatorade bath, the whole thing. I mean,
I disagree. I don't think Kyle knew the rules there. Talk about all the Chiefs were saying all the Chiefs knew the rules.
Right.
Mecole Hardman didn't know the game was over when he scored his touchdown.
Right. Well,
everybody talking about he didn't know it was over.
Yeah.
Like I said, we want to make a big thing that San Francisco didn't know. If they didn't know the new overtime rules, what did that matter when the defense was on the field trying to stop Patrick Mahomes?
I'm not saying it matters. I'm saying perhaps it would change your strategy as a coach as to what you would do. That's all I'm saying.
That's on the coach.
Right. Well, yes.
It doesn't change what players do on the field.
I understand. Did you get close enough to Taylor Swift? Like, were you close to her after the game? What happened?
Here's the downside of that. So immediately we go on the field and do some interviews, and I got Chris Jones right away, and I did get Mecole Hardman, who was phenomenal, explaining the play and everything. He was
great. Started the season as a Jet. Oh, geez.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But then I have to go in. I'm the one that always goes in and interviews the losing coach.
Right.
So I had to go in by the 49ers locker room, and before he does his presser for everybody, he talks to the TV network, which was CBS. He gives them a few minutes, and then he gives Westwood One a few minutes. So I get a one-on-one with the losing coach. So I had to go in to do that, and after I was in, that takes a while because he doesn't come out right away. By the time I went back out on the field, Taylor was already off the field.
Oh, that's
so I did not get the encounter with Taylor Swift. I was a little bummed at that.
Why did Shanahan take so long? Was he figuring out responses to why he didn't know the rules to overtime? I mean,
listen, by comparison, he came out a lot sooner than Nick Sirianni did the year before when I had to introduce him by about a half hour.
Right.
So listen, I know Kyle's going to get dumped on. The bottom line for Kyle is he's been in three Super Bowls, two as a head coach, and he's had the lead and he lost it. And his third down conversion rate overall in those three games is 25%. And in this game, I think he was 3 of 12.
Yep.
So listen, he's got a lot of other issues outside of making sure to tell his team about overtime rules. You know, they have some things to take care of on the field as well.
And some clock management stuff as well. But Andy Reid, we said these things about Andy Reid many, many years ago. And what Shanahan needs to do is go get himself a Patrick Mahomes. Okay.
Well, I mean, isn't that the thing? It really helped everybody's game when you have Pat Mahomes. I mean, it's so wild on what good it can do when you have a quarterback like that. It helps you out so much. I mean, so right now, Andy Reid and Mahomes are halfway to Tom and Bill, right? I mean,
Mahomes is not halfway there yet. He still has four more to go, but.
No, I'm talking about Mahomes and Andy as a coach,
as a
quarterback.
Tandem. Yes,
as
yes.
a tandem.
Yes,
Bill and Tom have six.
Correct.
And these two have three. So I know he needs that extra one to catch Tom, but I'm talking about the coaching tandem right now.
And let's remember that extra one needs to be, you know, with Carolina or something like that. Okay.
Yeah. How about it? And let me ask you guys this real quick. You know that documentary Dynasty is coming out about the Patriots.
Yes.
And you've heard all the stuff about Tom saying I wasn't going to re-sign with New England, and Gronk saying I'd get to work and I didn't want to get out of the car, and all the talk about how they were treated and how rough it was and this and that, of which first I say, I'll take all that to get me a Super Bowl ring, but I get it after a few, you might get tired of it. It all leads me to this question. Because of the way Bill coached and the way Bill is and the way Bill's not going to change, do we think Bill's ever going to get another head coaching job?
Yes. I do.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Why didn't he this year then?
I don't know. It's a great question, but I do think a team will get off to like Dallas or Philadelphia to a 1-3 start, and Belichick will be there for him. I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wonder if it's past where all teams look at it and say, boy, once he lost Brady and his way is a pretty hard way, do we want to do that? It'd be interesting.
I do think he'll coach again. Billy, you think he'll coach again?
Someone will get desperate, I think, and see the name and kind of be into. I mean, I don't know that he'll coach 3 years or whatever he's going to have to do to get the all-time coaching record.
Right.
Because
right.
if he's taking over a team that's desperate, they're going to probably be a bad team. So it'll take more than a year or two to get the 15 wins or whatever he needs. But we'll see. We'll see. So there's always a desperate person looking for a name, it seems, in the NFL.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, that's true.
A quarterback. That's true. Give me that. Yes. A quarterback. Joe Flacco came back. Bill Belichick's in a coach again. Okay. All right, Mike. It was a great season. The Chiefs win their second Super Bowl in a row. They'll try to make it a three-peat next year. Golic, you were great all year for us. We appreciate it. And I look forward to staying at your house in Notre Dame this weekend. Thank you, sir. Yes. God bless football.
I will make sure that I give you the address to my house. Yeah, that's it.
I already have it. Billy, Mikey A, something very exciting happened yesterday, and you know I cannot resist the temptation when this thing happens. A mock draft was released. Just 3 days after the Super Bowl, courtesy of our friend Field Yates. A mock draft, Field Yates. I was so proud of you. I've never seen you do a mock draft before. It's always fantasy stuff.
This is new territory for me. They told me, they said, hey, you know, if you can find your way, you know, onto various media platforms as a result of doing a mock draft, we'll give it the green light. So I was thrilled to drop mock 1.0.
Did you have to go and kiss the ring of Kuiper and be like, sir, might I, please, can I?
Get permission.
I had to send him a couple cans of hairspray.
Right.
Pumpkin pie.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to make sure that the Ravens pick was to his liking. Other than that, it was all good.
Okay. Were you in Vegas last week?
I was in Vegas last week, which was quite an adventure.
Yeah,
nearly
did it kick
a week
your ass?
In Vegas. Say it again.
Did it kick your ass?
Oh, yeah. I came back home a beaten down man. My wife was like, what have you done to yourself? I went on very opposite ends of the spectrum trips over the past couple of weeks. After 3 days in Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl, I came home for a weekend and then shipped right out to Vegas. two climates that will not be confused for each other. But Vegas is, I mean, it's just an unbelievable place in so many ways. I had no idea what time it was for one full week straight because the behavior of people at 4 a.m. is just as similar or just as likely to take place at noon, 8 p.m., midnight, you name it. People are just constantly living their life out there in Vegas.
Yeah, you're still feeling it though, right? I can hear it in your voice. I mean,
yeah, a little bit. We're powering through, guys, but also a long day on Wednesday with the ESPN commitments. So
mock draft,
I need a shot of, I need an espresso shot right now, which I might get after this wraps up.
What's your table game of choice, Field? Do you play cards or?
Blackjack, for sure.
Really? Do you have a run?
I did not have a run. I made a donation to the great state of Nevada this past week.
That's just what they needed.
Yes. It's about time they finally made some money, right?
Is your wife agitated by how much travel you have to do for your job?
Well, the interesting part about my gig right now is that most of my travel is concentrated to a very unique time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of my travel takes place from New Year's until like right about now. I go to the combine in a couple of weeks. I'm home a lot during the football season, which is nice. It's reduced over the years. But she was not thrilled when I was gone for basically 2 weeks straight with two kids, 2 years and younger.
That's tough.
Dicey.
Yeah. Dicey. Really, it really is.
Yeah. Not ideal. Not ideal.
But I do imagine, Mikey A, you know Field. We all know Field here, okay? I imagine he crushed Valentine's Day, especially coming off the Senior Bowl, especially coming off Las Vegas. He did Valentine's Day better than we did. Is that fair to say, Mikey A?
low bar, first off, better than we did is low bar. Right. But I would imagine the word sonnet is somewhere in his gift.
Ooh. Sonnet.
Yeah. What'd you do?
Nice lengthy poem.
Yeah. What'd you do, Field?
No, here's the reality, actually. I have kind of a get out of jail free card as it pertains to Valentine's Day.
What?
We have a dog, and he turns his birthday is Valentine's Day. So he turned 4 yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So on Valentine's Day, I mean, I might always be 4th in my own home in terms of power rankings in my wife's eyes behind our 2 children and our dog.
Uh-huh.
But I am unquestionably 4th on Valentine's Day because when Cisco, the golden retriever, turns 4, it's a big day around the Yates household.
Okay. So you guys have declared Valentine's Day really a birthday for your dog, and that's more important. At least that's what you think, right?
I mean, that's what it's not even what I think. It's like she's told me that in no uncertain terms.
I tried to teach you this. Whatever they tell you, do the opposite, okay?
Crap.
Right.
All right. I might have made a big mistake yesterday then.
Billy, you're agreeing with me, right? Like, she wants you to think it's the dog's birthday. She's trying to tell you, hey, it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only 364 days to get it right next year. I'm so ready.
How confident are you, Phil, just going off your mock draft here, that Caleb Williams is the best player in the NFL draft?
I think he's the best player in the NFL draft. I feel confident in that. There are some factors that can influence decisions between now and April, but absent Caleb having like really bad interview process or telling the Bears, don't draft me, I'd be surprised if he wasn't the number one pick in the draft. People have referenced how this past season wasn't as great for Caleb Williams as it was in 2022. My usual response is that in 2022, he had like one of the greatest college football seasons ever. USC has become an unlikable program. I think the fact that and Lincoln Riley has become an unlikable figure in college football, it has become easy to dunk on Caleb Williams. He was not as good this past year as he was 2 seasons ago, but he was still really freaking good. Every game he has, I don't know, a half dozen wow plays. You don't have to spend too much time studying Caleb Williams to see those wow moments, whereas other players, you have to go searching for them like a needle in a haystack. Unbelievable accuracy outside of the pocket. He's so innovative. You're going to hear it 1,000 times between now and the start of the draft. He has some shades of Patrick Mahomes in terms of his, you know, creativity, his ability to scramble, keep plays alive. I try not to put too many players in the category of, you know, the best player on the planet like Patrick Mahomes. But certainly Caleb Williams is one of the better second reaction players that we've seen at the quarterback prospect spot for the past couple of years. He is definitely, definitely, to me, the favorite right now to go number one.
So I put you in charge of the Chicago Bears, who have the number one pick in the draft. What do you do?
I'm taking him. I'm trading Justin Fields, and I'm doing my best to get as many offers coming my way. You know, Justin is obviously has his moments where he has been excellent. He also has his moments where he's left you wanting more, right? I mean, that final game of the season up in Green Bay, at the very least a chance to play spoiler, just kind of an uninspiring effort from the entire Bears team, but offensively they couldn't get anything going. My general rule of thumb is that 3 years into a player's career, if we're having the debate about whether the guy is the guy or not, usually leans towards the player not being the guy for the long haul. The Bears, I think, are going to get reasonable offers for Justin Fields between the fact that there are rarely good quarterbacks in free agency, but also you've got a handful of teams that are not in a spot to take a first-round quarterback that I think is worth a first-round selection, that's going to turn into some legit competition for Justin Fields. We've heard all the teams already, whether it's Atlanta or perhaps Pittsburgh, who should be calling Chicago, whether it's 2, whether it's 3, whether it's 5, I think there will be competition. And as we know, competition drives up the price to the point where the Bears could end up having not just the first pick in the draft, not just the 9th pick in the draft, but potentially some sort of bonus capital to work with to surround Caleb Williams with even better talent.
So this is your mock 1.0. How many versions do you anticipate having between now and then? And how much wiggle room did you give yourself so that your next versions can change so that people keep logging in to see where you're ranking people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have 4. As of right now, and I suppose that is subject to change, but when we put together our curriculum, if you will, for the next 2.5 months, it includes 3 subsequent editions, the next one being, I believe, right after free agency. So like the Wednesday after free agency, we'll dip our toe into mock 2.0. The good news is that in terms of wiggle room, it kind of writes itself. It kind of like it creates its own wiggle room because in 2 weeks, we go to Indianapolis for the combine. When you go to the combine, you've got tiebreaker opportunities, right? You've got 2 receivers that are closely graded. If one runs a 4-4-5 and one runs a 4-5-7, you probably lean towards the 4-4-5 guy. If, you know, one of these offensive linemen goes there and he's, I guess offensive linemen's a little bit different, but if his arms are shorter or longer, then that might break a tie as well. So I think the wiggle room will kind of create itself organically, and there will be some changes, no doubt, from Mock 1.0 to Mock 2.0. Heck, the night before Mock 1.0 went live, I was trying to make a switch to one of my picks, and I resisted the temptation to do so. But
Who was it?
Number 10. I wanted to flip-flop offensive tackles. I wanted them to instead take Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma.
They should take a quarterback. I mean.
Yeah. Are you available?
No, but they should take a quarterback. I mean, there's this 41 years old coming off an Achilles injury.
Yeah, but he almost played last year, remember? At the end of the season.
No, he did play for four plays.
No, at the end of last season.
He wasn't playing, and you know he was never going to play, and he might never play ever again. I mean, I don't know.
Love your confidence.
Yeah. Mock 4.0. Billy, how do you feel about that? I feel like 7-8 mocks is probably a better number than 4, right?
Yeah.
No?
But he's taking it seriously. I feel like 7 or 8 is a bit much. I do feel like maybe you look at your quarterback. Yeah, maybe like next one you just drop Caleb down to 3 and then people are like, whoa, what does Field know? Is there something going on there?
Yeah.
And then see if you actually like tank his draft stock, and then by 3 you just move him right back up to 2 and then on number 4 right back at 1.
Yeah, not a bad idea. The other thing
you
want to
keep movement in their field so that people stay interested, you know?
Well, here's the other thing you got to do. This is a veteran trick that I've learned after being on this job for a few months here, is like there are players I thought about having in my first round mock draft in Mock 1.0.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is you just slide those guys in Mock 2.0. And then what you've done is you've already created a pool of like 36 players rather than 32 that if they get drafted, like if a guy goes 28th and you had him in the first round in Mock 2.0, but not Mock 1.0.
Yes.
You get to say, as I've been telling you guys for months, like this guy's got a real shot to go in the first round. So you create a pool of like 40, 45 players by the time you finish Mock 4.0.
Right.
Covered a lot of bases. Honestly, that's all this is.
You just have to be right somewhere. Right. You just have to be right somewhere, Field, right?
Of course.
Yes.
Of course. There are seats everywhere for us.
Taught you well. That's why 50% of the radio shows I go on, I take one side. I took the Niners, and the other 50% I took the Kansas City Chiefs. At least I'm right 50% of the places I was on, you know?
Of course. That right there is the oldest trick in the book. You get 2 weeks to overanalyze one game. I'm with you. I had a much more – I had a slightly different but fairly, I thought pragmatic approach when I was in Vegas. Is any Chiefs fans that came up and asked me who I thought would win, I said the Chiefs. Niners fans, I said the Niners.
Attaboy.
Everybody was happy. Yeah, all
you made everyone happy.
Mm-hmm. My Q score was off the charts.
Who is the best quarterback not named Caleb Williams in this draft?
I think it's Jaden Daniels from LSU.
That's surprising.
Yeah, I thought he was unbelievable this past season. 40 touchdown passes, over 1,000 rushing yards. I've been saying this a lot, but I'll continue to reiterate it. Did as much as you could do in one season to boost your draft stock. Probably for any player since Joe Burrow, obviously also LSU back in 2019. Jaden Daniels is an unbelievable athlete. He's a great thrower, though, as well. Terrific throwing the football down the field, has touch, has accuracy, has big game production. I talk about sort of clutch moments, and no one's Patrick Mahomes, but part of what made the calculus so interesting for Kyle Shanahan is when you put the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands in overtime, if all he needs is 3, you might as well just like head to the locker room for the post game. I guess, defeat. If he needs 7, he might get 8, right? He'll score and they'll find a way for a two-point conversion.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels was similar this past year. I mean, not to the same heights as Patrick, but the idea that when the stakes were highest, he was his best, which to me is like a really important trait for a quarterback. There's a belief he instilled in a huddle that I thought really showed up consistently. LSU obviously has a lot of talent, but defensively they're terrible this year. I mean, they're awful. They fired like many of their power players in the defensive staff. And that's not coincidence. They were really bad, and they needed Jaden Daniels to be Superman, and he often was against teams that were definitely more talented top to bottom than LSU.
Field, who is the best player in the draft who doesn't play quarterback?
Marvin Harrison Jr., which is sort of an easy answer. I'm not trying to cop out here, but the Ohio State wide receiver kind of does everything well. You know, he's 6'3". We'll find out exactly how tall and how much he weighs, but let's call it somewhere between 6'3" and 6'4" and 220 pounds. But really can run well, He's one of those players that like doesn't necessarily look fast when you're watching him on the field, but I guarantee you his time speed will be insanely good, and nobody ever caught up to him. Really good after the catch. He's got a big catch radius, right? You don't have to throw the ball super accurately to connect with Marvin Harrison Jr., which Ohio State fans would tell you was often the case this past year, as Kyle McCord is no longer their starting quarterback. He's now at Syracuse. Great in the red zone. He has it all. I mean, he is a very, very high floor, but also super high ceiling prospect, which if you're the Cardinals at pick four and he's available for you at your biggest need on offense, I would think that would be the easiest, like, send the card into the commissioner right away pick in a long time.
Where do you think Michael Penix is going to go? Like, what round?
He has a chance to go. Yeah. I think at the end of the first round is probably where the conversation gets a little more interesting for him. As I mentioned, no trades in the mock draft 1.0, but we'll start to do those at some point in the near future, I would think. There are going to be teams that are going to be moving up to the back of the first round to take advantage of that fifth-year option and also secure a player that they want. I think that's where Michael Penix Jr. fits in. Obviously had an unbelievable this season this past year. Back-to-back years with 4,500 passing yards. Like, the only two guys to do that in college football over like the past 10 years are him and Patrick Mahomes. Anytime you can be compared to Patrick Mahomes with a stat,
yes,
not a skill set, but a right. stat, I'm yeah. into it. So he was awesome this past season. There's some questions you got to answer. His knee and his shoulder will be very carefully examined at the combine in just a couple of weeks. He had four season-ending injuries at Indiana, but none during his time at Washington. He stayed healthy. Intriguing prospect. I think he ends up in the back of the first round.
I ask you this on the way out here. We have less than a minute. Bill Belichick, you work for the Patriots. You have a relationship with Bill. Why is Bill not coaching currently in the NFL?
It's a good question. I'm surprised every day I keep thinking like I'll wake up and Bill or Vrabel will have been hired as a head coach.
Crazy.
And yet, here we are. All the vacancies are filled.
Yeah.
And two of, you know, the best, in the case of Bill, the best to ever do it are not currently head coaches. So probably a little bit of a perfect storm here. You know, with Bill, you're not going to hire him to, well, you most likely aren't hiring him to only be the head coach, right? He's going to want the influence or close to what he had during his time in New England. But if I would call those two are like the 33rd and 34th head coaches this season. If a coach starts slow next year,
yep.
I can only imagine the fan base is thinking, well, we got Belichick and Vrabel waiting in the wings if we want to make him our interim head coach.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Field, we appreciate it. Mock 1.0 is out right now. Check him out, ESPN.com and all the ESPN platforms. For every mock draft you do, that means an appearance on this show, okay? So three more with
Deal.
You, right? All right, good.
I'll do 10 now. I'll do 10.
Okay, good. Mach 10. I can't wait. We'll talk to you next week for Mach 2.
See ya.
All right, see ya.
How's everyone doing?
Good, man.
Hello.
Story. We missed you.
I know, man. You know how it is. Flip it, Super Bowl week. It is crazy.
Yeah. What'd you get into?
Interviews, appearances, meet and greets. I was out in Albertson doing a meet and greet.
Ooh.
That's about as random as a place have I been at. I lost my voice. I was right. talking for like 7 days straight. So
yeah,
voice is coming back a little bit. So that's been nice. But yeah, it was a nonstop marathon of speaking, meeting, pictures, and, you know, all of that.
Mike EA was asking me right before you came on, what percentage of people leave Vegas? Because I left Vegas. Vegas kicked my ass, and I want to talk to you more about Albertsons, but we'll get to that in a second. Vegas kicked my ass. What percentage of people leave Las Vegas and say, you know what? I kicked Vegas's ass.
Probably less than 5.
It's a high number.
Less than 5 people or less than 5%?
Less than 5%. Percent okay. of people are like, yeah, I really took it to Vegas, you know? I feel like most of the time it's people that are like, man, I'm ready to go home, or man, like that was a drag, which is a good thing, you know? But yeah, I think it's one of those experiences where you're not anticipating walking as much as you're going to do. You don't anticipate spending as much money as you anticipate maybe winning money. You don't win money. That kills your vibe. It's right. It's a bunch of smoke and mirrors, you know, as the saying goes, where you're like, okay, here's how it's going to go. I feel like it rarely actually goes to plan.
So, guys, I don't know if you caught on, and I saw it on not your social media, Austin, but the other person that I'm going to mention. Another friend of ours was hanging out with Austin and Gordy Gronkowski. It seemed like you were doing stuff with Gordy this past week.
Yeah, Gordy and I are part of the same, what we call it, the neighborhood. And so we have a lot of the same connections, one being Dave Meltzer that we were talking to. And then we were also at a, well, we had another event together. Oh, shoot, I forgot. They all blend together. We did like a celebrity poker tournament together as well. So we've been crossing paths for the last few years now. And he came to like one of my things I did for Experience, my app out here in Vegas. So like I said, we're part of the same neighborhood. So we cross paths quite often.
I like members of the God Bless Football community getting together, Billy. It makes me happy. I don't know about you, but
it's funny how they get together never with us, though. Like, that's my favorite part is when they all cross paths.
Unless your favorite plane. I mean.
Yeah.
Well, you guys got to start making some appearances more is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, now, listen, next year I will join you.
Go down when I say that. Yeah.
I mean, listen, next year I will join you at Albertsons.
Right, sir.
Okay. What were you doing? You're Austin frickin' Eckler. And Billy, listen, that noise you heard from Billy when you announced that you did an appearance at that, what's it called again?
At Albertsons.
Albertsons, yeah. Vegas, it got the best of me. That's because that's Billy's wheelhouse. Billy spends a lot of time in places like Albertsons. But what are you doing there? Like, why are you there doing an appearance?
Well, so here's the deal. Here's the Super Bowl is kind of like a focal point for a lot of advertising, and meaning probably like 40% of their budget probably goes to, you know, spending on the Super Bowl in some way with appearances, commercials, things like that. And, you know, us as athletes get to take part in that and helping them spend that money. And so I was doing a paid appearance out there in Albertsons, a little bit off the strip. And so I'm in this place where people don't even know this is going on. So I got people walking in to go get their groceries, go get their syrup. And this girl was about to go make some chicken and waffles. She said, she's like, oh my gosh, she had no idea I was going to be there. So it was interesting. But it was, you know, made for some good conversations, being able to surprise people. But yeah, Super Bowl, you get into a lot of wacky things. I was at Top Golf. I was at, like I said, the Albertsons. I was in Jewel Nightclub. You're never going to find me in the club. Not very often anyway. Jesus. And I was like in the DJ booth, like doing a little hype speech, getting everyone from this Visa event that we're putting on, excited for the club at like midnight. I was exhausted. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff. I did some stuff for Dairy Queen. Like,
right.
I'm all over the place right. when it comes to Super Bowl.
I love a good blizzard. Do you?
Oh, who? I mean, home of the blizzard, you know, they hand it to you, they flip it over, you know, here you go, here's your blizzard. I mean, who doesn't love a good blizzard?
Mikey A.
Yeah, never had a blizzard in my life.
That's where he draws the line. It seems like not making the Super Bowl perhaps was more lucrative to you than making the Super Bowl. I mean, I don't know.
You try to get the same value.
Yeah,
there's different values, but you know, you try to take advantage of it for both of them. You know, I mean, when I don't go to the Super Bowl, which I've never been, so the times I'm out actually partaking in all the things around Super Bowl leading up to it, I meet so many connections, meeting like I said, expanding that neighborhood, running into Gordy, people like that, and so doing the celebrity poker tournament, meet a bunch of other celebrities, meeting people in the investment space, entrepreneurs, meet a ton of fans, making their day. So there's definitely things to take advantage of.
Of the 5% of people who leave Vegas and say, I kicked Vegas' ass, how many of them have the last name Gronkowski or Kelsey?
I mean, I would probably say they probably, kick Vegas' ass for sure. I mean, right. Gronk, all the Gronk brothers, they have their beach party that they throw every year there. So they're getting paid to go out there and party and use their name to promote as well. So, I mean, that's a win. And then also, you know, Kelsey, shoot, just the Chiefs, they never lost in that flipping stadium out there. And then obviously doing it in Vegas too. I mean, there you go. I mean, even that's a bonus. So, yeah, they definitely won, especially this weekend anyway. I don't know about other times, you know, but this time they won.
Before the Super Bowl, we talked to you about it, and we were trying to give you tips as people who live in a city that hosted the Super Bowl in their hometown before and said it's kind of annoying when it's in your hometown. Did you like it being where you live, or did you find it to be more of an inconvenience because it kind of got in the way of your everyday life?
No, it was great from my perspective, but that's because I was actually going to the Super Bowl. But the traffic on the day of got absolutely insane. Have you ever seen like those, I forgot what country it's in, but there's no lights or anything, but everyone just kind of meshing together. Like people just go, That's what it turned down to out there, because it would be a red light, like a left turn arrow where the turn lane can go and everyone has to stop. No one's stopping. It's red. People are going through. The other one's already green, so they're trying to inch their way through, and it's just madness. And so it was only like that for 2 days. Luckily, I wasn't around the strip down on those 2 days, only just a little part of it. But I'm just watching these videos of people seeing all this stuff go down. So I really avoided the worst part of it. But for the most part, it was pretty smooth. I thought it was like, it's spread out enough, and Vegas is set up to be able to hold a lot of people, like with the parking garages, multiple ways into the strip and everything. So that was great. And then they have everyone that parks away from the stadium, and you have to walk across this bridge across the highway. So it really separates everything, kind of spreads it out, but not too far, but definitely like within a couple mile radius. So I think they're going to have it back here. I mean, you know, going forward, probably a few times, just because. Did you guys hear about like the betting numbers on the game?
Yeah, crazy.
It was like $50 billion that was like bet on the game. And I don't know what that compares to like previous years, but I'm guessing there was some type of heightening of that because of the Super Bowl being in Las Vegas, you know, home of gambling and all of that. So overall, well done, NFL. Well done, Vegas, in my part.
So you think Vegas did a good job, because people were concerned, Joe Buck amongst them, concerned about Vegas hosting a Super Bowl. But you felt like your city that you're living in right now did a good job, right?
100%. I think it was a smash. I can't wait to see like the numbers that come out. I'm sure there's going to be records broken of, you know, just numbers coming in, bets. Like for me now, that stuff matters, you know, because it's like, oh, how's the city doing? Like, that's what pays for my supplementing my income taxes that I don't have to pay here. You know, it's all these bettors that are coming and donating to the casinos.
Sure.
They just call it gambling. So I love to keep up with it. It's pretty cool.
We'll get to Billy in a second, because he gambled for the first time in Vegas, and so I want him to he doesn't know what he's
doing. Wait. Before we go there, we gotta know. Everyone's gotta know. Did you guys win Vegas?
Listen, I was up by 12 points headed into Thursday night on Vegas. I was kicking Vegas's ass, but Vegas went on a 24-0 run. And I lost, man. That place just got me, man. It's bad.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Billy, what about you? You were out there too, right?
I felt like I beat Vegas. I feel like it was a good job. I mean, I didn't do much. It was just work every day, so I didn't really enjoy a ton. But I feel like the work was productive. I feel like we went in with a plan. We executed and we got out alive. I mean, I was tired, but we got out alive. So,
Billy.
Yeah.
Are you saying you hate your job, or like, damn?
He didn't get to enjoy Vegas the way one would want to enjoy Vegas.
Oh, yeah, okay. I didn't do parties.
And he hates his job. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was like, dang, Billy, like, we got to get this guy. We got to cheer this guy up.
I'm saying I didn't go out to parties at night. I wanted to do more networking than I did, if I'm going to be completely honest with you. And I wasn't able to do a ton of that, just because we were going back and forth between Radio Row. We did a live show at the Circa two different days. So like, there's a lot of traveling in between. There's lots of interviews and stuff like that. So like, the plan was executed. It was just a matter of, like, once the plan was executed, it kind of took a lot out of me. So there wasn't a lot of, like, extracurricular activities, if that makes sense.
That's what I kept telling my team, because there'd be, like, things that would be paid and be like, oh, these optional unpaid things. And, you know, the week before on paper, it's like, oh, that's great. Let's do them, you know. And then you go out there and you do the things that you have to do that you're obligated. And then you're like, wait a minute, my energy is, like, in the dirt, you know.
Right.
Or it took longer. Or it's like, now we have to go over there. Yeah, I was at Albertsons all day. Now I'm like, I could go to this optional hangout, but I just talked to people for an hour and a half straight about their barber shop that they live down that they work out down the road. Yes. You know, and I'm like, okay, maybe let's just go home and rest. So
you need to learn how to work through a line, my friend, okay? Like when people are talking, just a quick picture. What's your name? Where you're from? Thanks for coming out. Boom, next.
I can't do it, man. Like that first engagement, like I want them to feel like special. Like I want them to feel like I'm like very thankful that they came to see me. And so I'll ask a couple questions. I'll talk about what you got going on, where you're from, you know, so I can't just be like picture next, you know. So I gotta
Austin, you need a sidekick. You need the guy to be the ass for you. You need the guy that's going, all right, Austin's had enough of you. Move on. You need that.
For sure.
Anytime you want to hire me, I'll do it.
All right, I got you.
Very nice of you, Mike.
I did say this, Austin. I think that Vegas is a great host city. I thought that, like, of the couple, a couple that I've done, I did Phoenix, Miami, Atlanta, Vegas. I think Vegas was a great city to host the Super Bowl. And I think that the NFL should go back there as often as possible because the city loved it. And since it was the first one, part of it was also about the city more so than the game. I felt like at some points it's just like, oh, this is Vegas. But it's such a great host city for that spectacle.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's other things like that. Like March Madness is a big time for Vegas. And so it's like one of those things that's like a staple. Like I know all these people that are coming out for March Madness to be around the betting, to be around watching the games and things like that. Super Bowl is another one that fits right into one of those categories of this is just a great, it's a whole week because it's like there's a whole campus. They got the NFL experience. They got media. They got players everywhere. Like, so there's just a whole experience for the entire week that can go on and have all this, these cool lights and places to actually host all this stuff. So I agree.
And the stadium's right there too, which is something that you don't get in a lot of cities where you have to drive way off to get to the actual stadium.
Man.
Right there in the middle of the town.
Yeah, so true. So true. It just keeps, this city keeps growing on me more and more every single year where it's like, this is in my backyard. I can be down at the Wynn. I could be at the Aria. I could be all that within 18 minutes and then be back at home, you know, in normalized living. So it's been great.
Sounds like he's leaning towards the Vegas.
Yeah,
Raiders,
I was going to say. I mean, are we talking about like doing that in November, October, or off season? Like, what are we thinking?
No promises yet. We'll find out here in about a month what's going on in my life. Yeah.
What'd you make of the game?
Man, I thought it was great. I thought it was great in the entirety of it. It started out obviously a little bit slower as far as the offensive play, but defenses were both staying strong. And I thought it was really well. I think the risk was managed both on both sides, where it's like, you don't have to push it. Like I had people that were with like, maybe be going for it on fourth down. Cause they're just getting impatient, right? They're getting impatient, but they held true. They let their defense go out there and continue to get stops for them. And each team was like inching up the scoreboard, which I think made it more intense as it got into overtime because you're like, okay, now there's definitely going to be a winner. As it wasn't really clear, you know, going into the first four, it was like, hey, like who's going to just barely inch by? And so I'm glad it ended with a one drive for each team. They get an opportunity to go out there and score. And so the fact that it went to overtime, I think, made it a great game. If it wouldn't have gone over to overtime, it kind of would have been boring. Like what the heck? Right. So I thought it was awesome. You know, I didn't really care who won. Pat won. It looks like we have a new era of, you know, the championship team like we did for the Patriots, which, hey, they've earned that. So if I'm in the division, looking forward to keep beating them because, hey, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. But I thought it was great overall.
Did you know the overtime rules in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, they changed them. Yeah, I knew that.
Well, because Kyle Shanahan was coaching in the game and he didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good, right?
That's not good at all. Well, they changed it after the Bills and the
Chiefs.
The Chiefs game. But yeah, I knew the rules. I don't know if it's because I was at NFLPA meetings or they talked about it at the beginning of the year or what, but yeah.
No, everyone was there. You were just paying attention because you're Austin Eckler.
Right, too.
Right. I mean, Tony Romo didn't know. No one knew. I didn't know, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, they wanted to make sure it was fair. So one team can't just go down there and score a touchdown. Here's the thing. You both get a possession. Yeah. You both, you know, want to go down and try to score. But look, if you go down and kick a field goal, you get forced. They were like the fourth down.
Yep.
They kicked the field goal. Like, I still think that's the right move, even if they, you know, don't get the ball. If they don't get the ball first, like, make your defense step up. Your defense has been playing well all game. Yeah. So either way.
Your boy Brandon Staley would have went for that, though. There's no question. I mean, he's not kicking field goals when there's a touchdown available to him. I mean,
oh, man, yeah. I
don't say that critically. Like, with Mahomes getting the ball back, I'm not certain I wouldn't do the same thing.
For sure. Yeah. Just to make sure that, hey, you're going to force them to have to score a touchdown. But here's the thing. Now, if you don't get it, now all they're doing is playing for a field goal. And so I think that's tough. I think it's so tough if you say, right, oh, hey, we're going to, instead of making them go actually score, which they had to score or at least tie, if you only make a play, hey, Mahomes, you only have to get to the 40-yard line. I don't like those. I don't like those odds. You know?
Knowing how hard it is to win in this league, when you look at a guy who's been in the league for 6 years, he's made it to the AFC Championship game every year. He's made it to 4 Super Bowls, won 3 Super Bowl MVPs. Are you sitting there as like one of his peers? Are you like, what the f***? how good can this guy be? Like, how are you experiencing all this?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a combination of what they got over there. It's obviously, you know, the great players, but then also in football, coaching has a big influence on the game as well. And so I think they have a good chemistry going over there right now. And, you know, when you have that chemistry, you try to hold on to it as long as you can. You know, you saw, you know, with before we saw it with the Patriots and Brady, right? They try to keep that chemistry, try to keep that same demeanor. And it's the Belichick and the Brady era. So I think we're seeing a new era that probably going to stay coupled together for a really long time, and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And so I think it's awesome for the game. Just in general, playing those guys, obviously you want to go out there and just beat them every time. Again, I play these guys twice a year, but you have to put respect where respect is due, regardless if you like them or not. And they've earned, you know, yeah, three Super Bowls now. So man, it's amazing for the game to see it shift and see like a new powerhouse in the league that's taking over. Because now that's the standard. It used to be that, okay, like the standard is now over here. And now it kind of shifts, right, as we continue to evolve and new players come in and out.
Billy, Mikey, I'm going to pin him down. I hate to do this to Austin, but I'm going to pin him down.
You always do every week.
He doesn't hate it either, Austin.
No, even a little bit.
I don't. You're right. But you played against both guys, Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. Who's better?
Wow. Who is better? They're both really good for different reasons. And I think that's where it's hard to really compare. It's not necessarily like apples to apples because they're not like the same. Like I would say like a Brady and a Manning would be like a little bit more like pocket passer, right? Really can distribute out, really can call the plays, get everyone lined up. And then I think you have with Mahomes who has the ability to create more than both of those guys did on his own with him just scrambling. I think that's one of the biggest things. It's not underrated, but it's like one of the biggest strengths that this guy has is that the throws that he can make sidearm and all over the place. And then also these scrambles for 7-8 yards. It's just so annoying, but he gets it done. So who's better? Shoot, I think, you know, I want to say that Mahomes is trending in that direction, but I still got a few more years to go. But I would say Brady right now, just because I've seen his full career played out and, you know, I've seen him go for 7, even though Mahomes is hot right now. I don't think it matters when you get hot. I think it just matters, you know, how long you're able to continue to play at that high level, how many championships you continue to go get. And so Mahomes is on the right path to getting there.
All right, Billy is he's right. He sent me a message. I presented that the wrong way. Game for your life. You need to win the game. It's a game for your life, and you could only choose one of two quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady, to lead
in their prime?
Patrick Mahomes prime, Tom Brady prime. I'm not certain what Tom Brady's prime was. It may have been when he was 40 years old. I don't know.
It might have been today.
Right.
It might be today.
Brady wins that game, by the way. If he's on the nine, he does. He wins it.
Yeah. It might be. I think I'm going to take Brady.
Okay.
And maybe I'm biased because I played Patrick twice. I've been playing him for the last, you know, 6 years and just been tired of all those games. So I'm taking Brady.
He likes to talk, right, Patrick?
He's not talking, but
he just likes to talk, correct?
I mean, look, everyone's got their personality, you know. I'd have never had a problem with him as a person, but
okay. All right. Did you see Kelsey Taylor last night?
As a person?
Who do I have a problem with as a person?
Oh, I love.
Yeah.
It's not that I have a problem with as people, that individual. It's more of a like an energy or vibration. Have you heard that? I don't really vibe with. Right. And there's people that. Well, the people that I do vibe with are people that are really trying to like actually do good for themselves and actually respect the people around themselves. People that I don't really mess with is people that are really full of themselves and act as if they're above others and really think that, oh, I'm too good for you. I don't need to be around you because I'm this person or I've done this. Not really a fan of that. So I'm a people person. I keep a very open mind. I respect people because people are people. We're all a person. Even those people that I don't vibrate with, I still respect, but tend not to stay around those types of people because I want positive, incorporating, uplifting energy. Even though if we're not doing the same things, they're not going down the same path, I still am encouraging you to hopefully be a better version of yourself and make an impact that's fulfilling in your life. So if you're not trying to do that or you're taking away from that from other people, I don't vibrate for those people. So those are the people I have individual beefs with. So I won't say names because for obvious reasons.
I was trying to find the guy that punched you in the head by accident in that fight, but I couldn't find it in time.
That guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy? Even that. Like,
yeah. Why don't you go read that speech?
Look, my team, not my football team, my internal team, we'll go back and forth. We'll butt heads. You know, it's not physically with the helmet, you know, to the face or a fist to the face, but it's healthy. It's healthy in Fowler. A way to have competition. Not necessarily that, Dante but Fowler, just to have yes. like opposition. We're about right. to go play a football game. We're not friends. We're about to right. go smash into each other. So, you know, we don't have to be knuckleheads and try to knock each other out right now, right? Before the game starts, before we're even getting paid. Let's wait till we're getting paid to do it.
By the way, me, Mikey A, Billy, we're all thinking this, and I should have addressed it earlier. Are we in the neighborhood? The three of us, are we part of that neighborhood? Or?
Well, clearly you're in the neighborhood if we're already crossing paths with other people that are in the neighborhood with.
That's true.
Yes.
You know, so here's the thing. I don't even know who's all in the neighborhood. Like,
right.
you might have a house, you know, on the other side of the neighbors that I know, but I'm like, okay, well, you're still in the neighborhood. I just haven't been introduced to you yet. But it's inevitable. It'll eventually, you know, if I'm proactive, I'll eventually get to, you know, a crossing with you. So, you know, you're connected to Gordy. I'm connected to Gordy. I'm connected to you. You're in my neighborhood. I speak to you guys all the time. So, yeah, you guys are definitely in the neighborhood. More than
has the Harbaugh communication dried up at all, or where are we at with that?
Yeah, so well, we saw he put out like a hey, we'd love to have Austin back on the team, you know, which is great, but
yes.
you know, until we're talking, you know, numbers and contracts, that doesn't really mean much, you know.
It's just something you had to say. Is that what you're saying?
You could say you want all these players back on the team, but I do respect him, you know, making that shout out. I'm sure he got asked specifically about that. So, you know, look, he already let me know that he respects me, you know, and I likewise, you know, exchange that. But it's something out of his control. I think it's something that he will have an influence on, but it kind of just depends on what the entire organization is trying to do. Do they have an appetite for bringing Austin back? Do they not? You know, so until we're talking contracts and paper, none of that means anything. But I do appreciate the respect.
Billy was wondering who our neighbors are.
Yeah, now just thinking about our neighbors in the neighborhood. You know what I mean?
Who are the neighbors?
Yeah. Well,
we can get the list going. It goes on and on. And my neighbors might be different than your neighbors.
Yeah,
we have no doubt.
Your neighbors are better than ours by far. 100%.
We're at the end of the block. I like what you put.
Exactly right. We're in the small house that no one wants to be around.
Yeah, you guys got some overgrown grass and stuff.
Exactly right.